same line.
Absolute defines reality. Absolute defines reality. Absolute defines reality. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. And our topic this evening is Absolute defines reality. In other words, Absolute defines the word reality. The word reality is bantered around in humanities terms in the relative world by saying, oh, that's so real. Or what is the reality of that? Are you really going, you know? What is real and what is make-believe? What is real and what's pretend, you know? And is that really a fur coat or is that just an ersatz fur coat? A what?
Imitation.
Imitation, that's the word. Is that just an imitation? And is that a real diamond or is that an imitation? Is that really you? Mother, you're calling me? Really? You're calling me? Oh, that's incredulous. You know, that's unbelievable. Mother is calling me. So mother calls and you talk to her. You say, Mother, that really was wonderful. What you said really turned me on. How you described the world, it's really just the way it is. And Mother, I'm so happy that you really called just me, you know. Now, in that little discussion there, we have defined the word really a couple of dozen times. We have used the word really in many, many different ways. And none of the ways is what the word really, really means. The word in absolute phraseology of reality, really, real reality, I think they both be but consider the same thing, reality. Is that the reality of the thing? Is that the realness of it? Now, what do we think the word reality means from absolute thinking? From absolute thinking, reality is the first cause. Reality is the first thought. Reality is the first concept or idea that stands behind any other attitude. Now, light bulb has a concept that stands behind it. It has a concept that light is produced by something within a ball of glass. Now, that's a light bulb. What produces that light within the light bulb can be a many-wondered thing. It can be a neon gas, which is turned on and made to illumine, like a fluorescent light might be. It can be an incandescent light, which works with a filament in there, and the filament has two wires leading to it, and power comes into that wire, and it's set to be a certain amount of power, certain wattage and certain things, so it'll burn a certain length of time. And in that bulb, these wires are put, and they're put into the bulb under a great vacuum. And then sometimes they're not put under a vacuum. Sometimes they're put under a pseudo-vacuum, which has a gas in it. And the gas allows the light bulb to burn longer. Now, the way light bulbs are built and developed and designed is as multitudinous as anything can ever be. However, the concept, the reality of a light bulb is the specific detail of what the absolute would define light bulb as. It is a concept. It is just an idea, and I don't mean to say just an idea. It is a singular idea. By saying just an idea, I mean a singular idea. It is an archetypal concept. It is something that is true at all times. Now, how it spreads out into being some other kind of a light bulb, how it spreads out, when Edison first designed the light bulb that he created, it was a very short life. The carbon filament in there burned so rapidly that he got no more than a few hours of use out of it. Now, that's not a very practical thing. You'd be right in the middle of reading your book and out goes the light, you know. Or you have the street light and you have to jump up there every so many hours and change the bulb in the street light. That's not very practical. But that's how the first lights were. the first lights were exceedingly short-lived. Now, that was one of the main things that they wanted to improve. Now, does that change the reality of a light bulb? Does that change the reality of the concept of light bulb? Is the concept of light bulb an absolute concept? And we might say yes and no. Why would we say yes? We would say yes because we believe that every individuality, every individualized idea, every archetypal thought has reality to it. And then we go back into the allness, and the allness has every concept in its beingness, and we think of things in its diversity, and we say, wow, that is really something. How can the allness contain every archetypal concept of everything that exists in the allness? Well, the reality of it is that that's just the way it is. However, if you think of the individuality of each of the archetypal concepts, you are thinking in the relative. Mm-hmm. So the moment you really think in absolute, you are thinking of allness. You are not thinking of a unique, individualized concept, or what you might say is an archetypal concept, or an isness. It is not that. And you say, well, now, what have you just done? You've taken what we have learned is absolute, and that's the archetypal concept of a thing, the idea of light bulb that Edison first ran into, and then he expanded on it to his own understanding. But let's look at the idea of light bulb for just a moment. You and your thinking might say that an idea of a light bulb would be a bulb that burns a certain number of hours and emits a certain amount of light. Well, now, that cannot be the universal concept of light bulb. The universal concept of light bulb is a bulb of glass, perhaps, or substance of that nature, that has within it a certain luminous material which radiates outwardly from it and illuminates whatever it radiates upon. Now, that's a little different. Now, does that light bulb ever burn out? No, because inside of that light bulb is the archetypal substance, which is forever burning. And I'm trying in telling you the things this way to show you that you really have nothing to hold on to. That every time you think you have a peg to hold on to, we take it away and move you deeper into absolute concepts. And when you get into absolute concepts, you will never think your mother is going to be waiting for you when you die. You're never going to think that there is something to be done. You're never going to think that you have something to accomplish in this lifetime. You're never going to think that you have a purpose or motivation in this lifetime. For every purpose and every motivation changes constantly. It changes with virtually every time you look at the motivation or the purpose of what you're doing something. You think, I'm going to go to the show. And so, yeah, it's just fine. So you're all set to go to the show. Well, let's look at tonight. I expected a cheese fondue tonight. I was told the cheese was being prepared and the fondue was being prepared and everything is going to be so beautiful. So I came over here ready for a cheese fondue. And I had to make an adjustment because they didn't have a cheese fondue. They had a bouillon dip in which we dipped chicken, fish, and veggies, and shrimp. Now, that's far cry from a cheese fondue that my mouth was watering for and that I was ready for and that I was so inclined to enjoy. But no, we had this other kind, which was equally good, and just but a different direction for my thinking. Now, was it wrong? No. Was it right? No. It was just that it was. It was just an is, you might say. But that's the way we look at life. we look at life with preconceived ideas as to what it's going to be. We look at life and we say that it is going to be a wet day because the rain is out there falling. And if you are a master, and you are, and you choose to activate your mastership, and you can walk out the door, and wherever you walk, there is no rain. In fact, you don't even have to walk out the door. You can say, I'm going to the Hermitage, and be there. Mm-hmm. Without even going through the rain, without even going through the weather. And you can say even further, I think I'm going to go down and see Andrew Aiken and find out if he got the cable for the computer yet. And if he hasn't got the cable, I'm going to say to myself, I know where that cable is. And then I will go wherever the cable is, and I will get the cable and take it to Andrew, and he will have it for his computer. Or, if I am so competent, I will say, Andrew now has the cable for his computer. Or, if I am so competent, I will say, I respect Andrew, and Andrew now has a computer that works on its own energy source, needs no energy from anything else, and it has its own connection to the internet all the time. It needs no connection outside of itself, and it's all fully, if you will, paid for. It's all bona fide. It's his, and it's done, and he has that, and he is working on it and doing beautiful things. Now, you say, well, golly Moses, if you can do something like that, we can make a lot of money, you know. We could make a lot of money producing those things just as you have it come out of your mind. Well, what is money? If I want to make a lot of money, I can just think a lot of money and it'll be there. But what do I want to do with the money? That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. So what if I want to do something with the money, then I just think the archetypal concept of whatever reality I choose to demonstrate, and I will demonstrate that. And that's just the way the principle works. But what is it that you're going to do? How are you looking at the absolute? As a philosopher, what attitude do you take against it or through it? Do you think that in absolute you have to do something, make something happen?
No.
Do you think that you have to create something?
No.
Do you think that you have to think a thought and put that thought into motion and demonstrate that thought, you know, by hook and crook? No. Okay, if that indeed is not how the principle is revealed, how is the principle revealed? Well, whenever you think anything, you are unable to think it. Whenever you think anything, you are unable to think it. Because whenever you think anything, it stands there before you. And you're not able to think anything. Because there it is.
You are it.
You are it. And you see, this is a concept which, if we can get into our consciousness, we have made a giant step. And it is beautiful. Whenever you can think anything, and you think it, then it is there before you without any other ado, and it is yours to use forever. Now, just go ahead and think you're going to have a beautiful car. And why you want a car, I can't imagine, because you can just think your thought and you are where you want to be. But if car is fun. So you want the jazziest car on the face of the earth. And your idea of jazzy and someone else's is different, so it has to be your expression. So you manifest this rather remarkable car, and it uses hydrogen to drive it. But like what was the name of that show where the angel was in there?
24 Street.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. No. I'm talking about the one where the angel made the wine glass fill up. Remember?
The bishop's wife.
The bishop's wife, right? Well, remember the bishop's wife, and the angel was having the old man talk about the philosophy he loves so dearly, and every time he'd reach for a glass of his wine, his glass would be full, even though he had drunk it. And it was totally, totally delicious, perfect wine, non-alcoholic. He could drink all he wanted, and he would never get schnockered. So, what did the angel have him do? The angel had him look in his own consciousness for all of the details of the book that he was trying to write, because he knew it all already, and begin to put it down on paper. But what did the angel do? The angel encouraged him to know some charming stories that made the writing absolutely desirable. Now, did any of you see the movie? Yes, you all saw it, mostly. But when you saw the movie, did you realize it was giving you the secret of the universe? It was telling you that you have that capacity to think your thought and experience whatever it is that you want right at that moment. Did you realize that that movie was saying, this is for you? It used the bishop as an example. It used the bishop's wife as an example. It used the cab driver and so forth as an example. But it was saying, you, the listener, the reader, the audience of this story, put that cause in motion and it's yours. You know, Herb, that's so stupid. That's so stupid. Well, that's right. Jesus was that way too. Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith, I send you forth to do miracles, to raise the dead, to heal the sick and so forth. You go out and you can't do it. I can't do it, Jesus. And so Jesus says, okay, back to the drawing board. Here's what you do. You put the cause in motion and speak your word. They are healed. It is done. And it is done. Now go again. Try it again. Now go again. You can be sure he was going after them for weeks on this sort of thing. They'd go out and he said, if people don't trust you or believe you, shake the dust off your shoes and leave the town and go on to the next one. But you see, here tonight, which is Christmas Eve, and this is the presumed birth of the Christ child, which is the Christ child in each one of us, and we can wake up to that concept right now if we wish. We can wake up to the concept that whatever we think is fulfilled. But it has to be our first thought. If it becomes additional thought, then what we have done, we have already started on our downward road of saying it won't work. In absolute, everything works. In absolute, there is no non-working principle. In absolute, the principle works for anybody. Have you visited the absolute recently? Have you gone into your inner self and absolutely, 100% believed what you heard, believed what your divine in you said? If you did, you can accomplish anything. You can accomplish it. But you see, most of the time you don't believe it. Like the man who said he wanted to be a billionaire. That's okay. I'm Santa Claus. I'll give you the billion. Now, do you think that he's going like this? Is he really so? Or is that really so? Is that going to happen? Might that happen or might that not? You see, and he's dead. Mm-hmm. If he is like little Sammy, my grandniece, she went to see Santa Claus. And seeing Santa Claus, her mommy and daddy said, now, what do you want Santa Claus to bring you? And she says, Santa, I want snow. And Santa said, is there anything else? No, I just want snow. And I want it now. And so the little girl went away and went home and went to bed. And the next morning, she sat up in her crib and looked out the window, and it was snowing. And she says, Mommy, Mommy, look what Santa Claus gave me. Now you see, that is the childlike simple belief, the simple awareness of acceptance that brings the miracles to us. And this is why they say we must be as a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must be as a little child to enter into absolute reality, into awareness of who we really are and how to demonstrate the joys of our life and the experiences of our life. Do you think that'd be a great thing to do?
Yes.
I think it'd be a fantastic thing to do. But how can you do it? You do it by turning your attention only to that which you want. Only to that. And if you have some projects going that you've been working on for a long time and they've been unsuccessful, let them away. Let them pass. You've already overworked it. Now, with the innocence of a child, with the confidence of a little baby who doesn't know any different, believe in Santa Claus. Believe in absolute. Believe in principle. And when you see, the little girl who believed in Santa Claus, she just believed that she would have her request fulfilled. And Santa Claus was merely a statement of saying principle, you know. Principle will fulfill my desire. And when we can put a cause like that in motion, wow, then we're doing great. But do you want it? And the answer is no. And why don't you want it? Because you argue with it. You argue with it and you say, well, intellectually now that's just not too sound and that's just not too proper. And then emotionally, well, Jesus wants us to suffer. Jesus wants us to be poor. Jesus wants us to be sick. And Jesus wants us to die like he did on the cross and stuff like that. Well, you see, you got both ends of the stick there. And neither end makes any sense. But the only thing that makes any sense at all is where we follow the concept of be yourself and have fun. We follow the concept of saying, hey, if there are billionaires in this world, and if there are millionaires in this world, and if there are wealthy people in this world, why not me? Why not me? And rather than saying, why not me, say, me too.
Mm-hmm.
And
me too.
Just
me too.
Believe. Just believe. And put the cause in motion for yourself and watch the miracles take place. Because I'm ready.
Me
are
too.
You ready? Me too.
Huh?
Me too. Okay. Thank you. That's the absolute philosopher for tonight. And
we wish you all a Merry Christmas.
We wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And sleep well and
sleep in heaven.
Recognize that when you ask, you shall receive. When you call it Santa Claus, you get the snow. When you call it God, you get the allness. Enjoy, my loves. I love you. I love you. I love you.